Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of the Walking Leader Podcast. The Walking Leader Podcast is here to help you get up and thrive as you walk around the company floor. The objective of this podcast is to not only give you the rules, but the tools to help you succeed as a leader in your organization. Welcome. Welcome to this episode. I do hope you are well and enjoying the summer or what's left of it. I am David Guerra, the author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about three things. Why it is important to do the Walking Leader rule number one to everyone. Ryan Lochte and his nonsense during the Olympic Games. And leadership in motion pictures. So let's get started. In my book, The Walking Leader, the 20 Rules to Help Guide You to Leadership Greatness in Your Organization, the first rule is do it to everyone. Doing the Walking Leader process to everyone is essential in that you are not seen as playing favorites or forgetting the little people. Yeah, there's nothing worse than coming across as a kiss ass. See, because you only deal with department heads, managers, and higher-ups. And to avoid, well, the only way I know to avoid becoming known as a kiss-ass is to talk to everyone, and I mean everyone, including those that work on a different shifts and different shifts other than you if you're in one of those organizations that has multiple shifts. See, when you take the time to meet everyone, you get the unique opportunity to become more than just an acquaintance, somebody you nod your head at as you pass in and out of the building on the way out or the way in. And if nothing more, you become that acquaintance with the individuals that would normally not get the opportunity to do so with other inexperienced or self-centered leaders. See, that's where you become different from them. See, you now begin to improve the culture around you, as those you directly lead will be more apt to venture out on their own and meet those in the same individuals that you've already met. See, when you can improve the culture of the organization, even if it is just a little bit, you've already made your organization that much better. Now, that, my friends, well, what can I say, is a very, very good thing. Now, as I am recording this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast, it is the final day of the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's coming to a close. All good things must come to a close. And while it was a great 2 weeks of competition, excitement, anticipation, and cheering, a lot of it by myself, it was also marred, well, with some bits and pieces of nonsense. However, the one that really stood out late during the games was the Ryan Lochte situation in Brazil. Long story short, this guy and a couple of his U.S. swim team buddies had a late night out on the town. Then on the way back to their quarters in the Olympic Village, they were allegedly robbed at gunpoint. See, now once it was all said and done, it turns out that Lochte made up the story and, well, his cohorts just followed along. And bear with me. See, after a well-deserved night of revelry, the U.S. swimmers found it absolutely normal to destroy some private property. Why? See, when faced with the consequences of their actions, Lochte and his crew paid for what they destroyed. Kudos. They didn't put up a fight. They paid for that. That's great. That's exactly what you should do. You know, own up to your mistakes. And ideally, in a perfect world, the story should have ended right there. But here's where it gets a little crazy. See, what possesses them to make things worse by involving the police and fabricating a sensational story? I mean, seriously, to this day, I still don't get it. You know, what does this say about their character and their ethics? And not just of Lochte's, but of everyone that was involved and perpetrated and exacerbated and pushed the story along. See, folks, as leaders, none of us have any reason or anything to gain when it comes to making stories up or blaming others to deflect from an obviously non-situation. In this case, it was a non-situation. But again, what did they gain? See, when the story first broke, I told my wife, "Watch, this is going to come out as one of those some things. You know, it's going to come out as one of those things that they did and did not want to get caught doing." And to tell you the truth, I thought it was something they did inside the club that they were at. I didn't really think it was something they did outside. But, well, you know what? They still did something they didn't want to get caught at. But again, you know, when the truth finally came out, not only was I right, but I still am dumbfounded as to why Lochte decided to make a mountain out of nothing. I mean, they already paid the debt, and that was supposed to be the end of it. But it wasn't. And again, we just can't figure out what went through this guy's mind. You know what? Let's make this sensational story up. Let's file a false police report. Let's do something crazy. But, well, you know, now the fallout of this nonsense is just beginning. You know, rumors coming from the U.S. United States Swimming Group or Association is that sanctions, or could be the Olympic Committee, could be that their sanctions are coming and they're going to be harsh. I can't express this any more harder, more with more intent. It's just not worth it. It never has. It never will. And leaders, please understand that. And these guys are leaders. They're the top of the United States. They're the best of the best. There aren't very many swimmers that are better than them. And they want to, well, they become leaders. They have no choice. They become leaders. They're at the top of their profession. They do what they do. They represent the nation. They're leaders. Kids growing up right now are looking up to these guys. And they themselves are not kids. Lochte's, what, 32? But it's just not worth it. And folks, you that are leaders now, you that are up-and-coming leaders, that are being some great followers, remember this. If you ever find yourself associated with individuals that have absolutely no problem behaving in such a manner, in a manner that creates situations that are immoral, unethical, and unprofessional, it's time to step up and face the music, or be prepared to risk your career and professional reputation. It really is that simple. Personally, I would work hard to avoid being around such individuals and the situations they create. Because again, Lochte, well, basically, he just threw them under the bus by being present. My question is, what would you do knowing this? If you were in this situation, what would you do? What would you have done? Now, for this next segment, I've been toying with this subject for quite some time, and you know, I've been hemming and hawing and just kind of like, should I do it, not do it? Well, you know what? Enough is enough. I want to introduce leadership in motion pictures. Now, not only am I including it in this podcast series, but it's also going to be a blog series. So be sure you follow that on my website, daveguerra.com/blog, and look for it. It'll be up. It should be up the same time this podcast goes up in the first one. So the purpose of leadership in motion pictures is simple. It's to present and show you those unique motion pictures that not only entertain us, but show leaders in unique situations and how they get themselves out of it. Got it? Okay. Now, again, this is all about motion pictures made at any time. Black and white, color, IMAX, it doesn't matter. I'm running the gamut here. I love motion pictures. I love watching movies. But there are a lot of great ones out there that have kind of a leadership message to tell us. And so I'm going to start. I'm going to go way back. Pretty far back. The first motion picture is the 1949 classic 12 O'Clock High. 12 O'Clock High stars Gregory Peck as a U.S. Army Air Corps general who is reluctantly given command of a bomber group based in England during World War II. Now, when the movie begins, the bomber group has suffered terrible losses, and the commander seems to do nothing to get that bomber group's confidence back. He's more in tune with the men and not the mission. So he's overly identifying with the men, and as somebody says in the motion picture. Now, when all seems lost, the upper echelon wants change, and that change has to happen now. Because, well, for one thing, in war, well, it can't wait. It cannot wait for the current commander to get his mojo back. Now, so in comes the reluctant Brigadier General Frank Savage, played by Gregory Peck. He starts by restoring law and order in an otherwise near chaotic bomber group. I mean, it's gotten so lax, it's gotten, you know, just they do whatever they want. See, General Savage, Peck's character, he starts doing things on the ground before even considering any changes in the air. And when changes happen, you know what happens. There's always going to be resistance to change. Nobody likes his back to the fundamentals approach. Sound familiar? However, with threats from the pilots of wanting to transfer out or people just quitting or just not doing what they're supposed to do, the general does not back down. Because, again, he can't afford to. See, ultimately, the changes start to make sense for the 918th Bomber Group, and they start to gel. They start to form into a cohesive unit on the ground and in the skies. The pilots, the crew, the men of the bomb group start to regain their confidence. And while on bombing missions, you know, this really helps because on bombing missions, Brigadier General Frank Savage is up there with the group. He's leading them from the front. And on missions that, well, you know, no general should ever be on or should occasionally go on. But no, he's out there doing more than he should be because, again, he's leading from the front. Now, throughout this motion picture permeates a sense of battle fatigue, combat stress, post-traumatic disorder. There's even a suicide mentioned in the movie. And, of course, just plain old quote-unquote bad luck as to why things are happening the way they are. Folks, war is never easy. It never has been, never will be, and don't let anybody tell you different. See, when motion pictures stop glamorizing war, such as those John Wayne-type movies, then things could really be told. And from this movie, I understand. No, but don't get me wrong. Hold on. Let me back up a little bit. I understand that some liberties have to be taken to dumb down war, men in war, and the things that happen to them in war for the general public. For the general public to accept in motion pictures, because again, they're going to be entertained. They're not going there to be horrified. So some things have to be dumbed down, but the leadership message in 12 O'Clock High permeates as well throughout the movie. And the message is simple. The mission comes first. In this case, win the war. That's the mission. The men come second. So use these men as best as they can be used to support the mission, which will win the war. The men and women who perform the mission and the price the men and women pay, as well as the machines pay to fight in a war, is one thing that every leader must remember when fighting a war, either in some far-off land or if the battle is in the accounting department. See, the mission must be of the highest importance by the leader or leaders. Get everyone focused on the mission and hold them accountable to that mission. The rest will take care of itself, just like General Frank Savage did in 12 O'Clock High. The movie is about 2 hours long, a little bit more than 2 hours, 2 hours, 12 minutes, but it's a great movie, and it's a great message, and it says, you know what, just working hard, even under our trying times, great things will happen. People will gel, people will come together, and a great team will be formed. The bomber group, in this case, will be formed, and the mission must be first. And then the men will take care of themselves because they're going to inspire themselves. They're going to inspire each other. They're going to hold each other accountable to make it happen. That's why 12 O'Clock High, starring Gregory Peck, is by far one of the best leadership movies out there. There's others, and I will talk about them later. But in this episode, that's the one I recommend. Now, for those of you interested in watching, 12 O'Clock High is currently available for streaming on Netflix and on Amazon.com as well. It's on DVD, and I want to say it's also on Blu-ray. Check it out. As I start wrapping up this episode of the Walking Leader podcast, I want to leave you with these three points. Get out there and meet everyone in your organization. Do not skip anyone for any reason. However, if you have to, get back to them as soon as possible and meet that individual or individuals. And when it comes to doing the right thing, there is no room for anything other than doing the right thing. See, when you have no issues associating with individuals that have absolutely no problem behaving in a manner, well, that is unprofessional, unethical, immoral, then it truly is time to reevaluate who you are and what you stand for. But when you have a problem associating with those types of individuals, then you are well on your way to leadership greatness. Next. Keep your eye on the mission. When the eyes have been taken off the mission, going back to the basics and fundamentals is the only way to start getting your lost mojo back. Folks, I thank you for downloading. I thank you for listening to episode 78 of the Walking Leader Podcast. As always, the show notes are on the website, daveguerra.com/podcast, and then look for episode 78. Until next time, I am David Guerra, wishing you the best, and remember to make every day better than yesterday.